Well, good morning. Welcome, Grace Bible Church family, to our videoed, or maybe audio, depending on how you're choosing to listen to this, our sunrise service for Easter morning. Please remember that soon after this, you'll probably receive another email about our Easter service as well. So it's a pleasure to have Pastor Sam Wilcock. I asked him over some time, come on, brother. I asked him some time ago to come, and oh, we've got to keep social distancing, that's right. Asked him some time ago to do the sunrise service, and he was very excited to do so, so now we're bringing to you by video.
Thank you, Pastor. It's a joy to be with you all this morning, and this sunrise service is a little different, but it's going to be a blessing we trust from the Lord. It's always good to be able to speak a word for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just trust that you'll follow through the day now, because later on, Pastor Unger will be bringing the Easter service for us, and that should be a blessing. And we thank God for all of our pastors at Grace Bible Church. They're a blessing, an inspiration, and they labor for our Lord, and they love the flock that is Grace Bible Church. If you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the first book of the New Testament, the Gospel according to Matthew. We're going to be looking primarily at chapter 28 and one verse of Scripture. You know, in our Bibles, we find there are 66 books, 1,189 chapters, 31,101 verses, and I believe this verse, our text verse, is one of the most powerful verses that we could ever read and consider. So in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 6, here's the word of God. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this wonderful day, this Easter Sunday morning, that we can celebrate the resurrection of our blessed Savior. Thank you, God, that you've loved us with an everlasting love. Thank you, God, for the fact that we can love you back. And I pray, God, you'll make this message a blessing to those that are watching and those that are tuned in. And may your glory go out amongst all the people of God, that they might want to worship you in truth and in spirit. Thank you for Easter, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice, if you would, our text here in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 6. If I were to put a title on this message, it would come in the form of a question. And here's that question. Do you believe in Easter? If not, why not? You know, I believe this verse of Scripture is foundational for the truth that we celebrate Easter to commemorate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Now, happy Easter is a good greeting, but happy sunrise service is a better greeting, I believe, and I'm glad that we can come together and worship the Lord in truth and in spirit. Matthew, as he spoke here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is giving to us a proclamation, he's giving to us an invitation, and he's giving to us a confirmation. You'll notice in these 19 words, if you look at them closely, all of that can be seen. You'll find that in the very first part of that verse, it says, he is not here, for he is risen. Now, I want you to note, as you dissect this verse, the he and Lord in this particular verse refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to say, for he is risen. Wow. He's come back from the dead, as he said. And that's a reference to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, where we find Jesus giving a sign to the people concerning how many days he would be in the earth. And we find it was 3 days. And he used Jonah as an illustration of that great truth. 3 days and three nights. And then it says, there's the invitation, come. Come. This is what he spoke to those ladies that came to that empty tomb. See the place where the Lord lay. Otherwise, witness that Jesus is not here. What does that say? It says he's alive. He's a Savior that lives forevermore. And so these very profound and perfect and personal words are words that the Holy Spirit inspired Matthew to write for your benefit and for mine. And by the way, this particular event we call the resurrection of Jesus Christ not only changed history for the entire world, but it changed history for you and for me. Now, let's go to the prophecy of Acts chapter 26 and verse 23. Acts chapter 26 in your Bible, if you have one, and one verse of scripture there in verse 23. Notice the scripture. It says that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show unto light unto the people and to the Gentiles. So the scripture says in the book of Acts that Jesus rose from the dead. He was the first that should rise from the dead. That was a fulfillment of that very scripture when Jesus came forth 2,000 plus years ago from that tomb in the garden. His death had been witnessed by the centurion. And by the way, that centurion is the only person that preached the funeral of Jesus. He spoke but seven words. What a brief message. What a small eulogy. He said, "Truly, this man is the Son of God." He recognized who Jesus was. He had received, I believe, salvation through the grace of God. And so the centurion had witnessed his death along with the soldiers that were under his command. The two thieves in which Jesus hung between. The women that were gathered there. And the other followers, the Bible says. And then the Bible goes on to say that there were railers and gawkers. There were those that ridiculed our Lord. And we know that he was dying for the sins of all mankind. Jesus bore that sin for you and me. Yes, he truly died that we might live. And we notice as we think about this particular passage of scripture that the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is that particular doctrine upon which all other doctrines of the Word of God rely and depend. Take away this great Bible truth, deny it, and you could eliminate Christianity as we know it today. There's only one mention of Easter in your Bible, and that is in the book of Acts chapter 12 and verse 4. Let me read that for you. Acts chapter 12 and verse 4. And you remember here that Herod had killed James. He's now taking the other apostle Peter. He wants to imprison him, and he wants to take his life. And in Acts chapter 12, I believe it is, in verse 4, it said, "And when he had apprehended," that is to say, Peter, "he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers," meaning 16 soldiers, "to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." Peter was under a death sentence. And we find that this particular time, Herod had a great hatred for the children of God, for the followers of Jesus Christ. And so this word Passover here in the book of Acts could better be translated Passover, because it was a commemoration of the feast of the unleavened bread of the Jews. It could be that for centuries people have celebrated an Easter without knowing what a genuine Easter all about or involves. So my question is this: do you believe in Easter? In considering Easter, you must put Christ's resurrection into your belief system. Webster says this concerning resurrection, and I quote, it says, "A rising from the dead, coming back to life," end quote. That's exactly what resurrection is. That's what Jesus did. He was born, he lived, he ministered, and he died, and he rose again the third day. Amen. Christ's resurrection is a historical event that unequivocally proves Jesus came back from the dead. He came back with a glorified body, never to die again. And we can say loudly, "He's alive. He's alive. He's alive." Yes, this empty tomb is proof positive that Jesus resurrected. But my friend, don't base your faith or your Christianity on the empty tomb. Base your faith and Christianity on the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the resurrected Savior that he is. What do you know about Easter? Well, I can tell you this. It's a very special celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. And Easter is the oldest Christian festival except for the weekly Sunday gathering by the New Testament churches. Its exact date of origin is not known. It did not have its beginning before 200 AD. But we believe, according to history and those that write about history, that it began to be celebrated by 300 AD by most Christian churches around the globe. So churches began to celebrate Easter, and it's fitting that we celebrate Easter today. I believe it began with Jesus' resurrection early that Sunday morning when he came forth from that borrowed tomb. So let's examine three points about resurrection, which is proof positive through Scripture to be a fact. Note, first of all, the prophecy of Christ Jesus' resurrection. And then secondly, notice if you would please, the powerful performance of his resurrection. And thirdly and finally, we consider the fact, the promise of our sure resurrection. Yes, we find that Jesus is a resurrected Savior. We serve a risen Savior today. He's in the world today. And we know that he's alive forevermore. You know, the Bible says that on that day when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, it was a day of darkness. It was a day of dreariness. It was a day of discouragement. It was a day of despondency. It was a day of seemingly defeat. But wait a minute. Sunday's coming. There's a Sunday coming. And in that first Easter morning, Jesus burst forth from that tomb, alive and well. Yes, truth came out of that tomb, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so we notice that God orchestrated this whole event. Our Heavenly Father had it planned. He brought it into fruition. Somebody asked the question, well, how big is God? He's big enough to bring all of this together. One commentator said this, God is greater than all the sum total of all of his creation. That's just how big our God is. And so we see here, first of all, the prophecy of Christ's resurrection. Just as our Lord's birth and life is recorded and prophesied in the Word of God, his death was prophesied many times over. And we see also that his resurrection is prophesied. So here's some Bible verses to support that. David shows us that God will not allow thine Holy One, speaking of Jesus, to see corruption. We find that in the book of Psalms, and we find that in Psalm 16 and verse 10. And then in Psalm chapter 49 and verse 15, another psalmist wrote this. He stated that Jesus would be delivered from the grave and hell. Otherwise, he would not suffer corruption. We notice in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21 that Jesus spoke unto his disciples that he would come forth one day out of the grave. And he would go into Jerusalem first and suffer many things, be killed and rise that third day. That's the proof that Jesus was resurrected. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. In John's Gospel chapter 2 and verse 19, Jesus gives his disciples a preview of his coming resurrection. Up from the grave he will arise, and he would raise himself. Jesus uses Jonah's three-day whale stay to illustrate his three-day grave stay. Only 3 days and three nights. And so we see that the prophecy of Christ's resurrection is mentioned many times over in Scripture. Some years ago, in fact, about 25 years ago, on the 11th of April, God put these words in my heart concerning the resurrection of Jesus. I want to share it with you. It's entitled, He is Risen. They placed Jesus in a borrowed tomb, their hearts and faces paled with gloom. But little did they know that day, God's angels would roll the stone away. Their hearts all filled with despair, and little hope was evident there. But they remembered what the Savior said, that he'd resurrect from the dead. 3 days later, on that Easter morn, new hope within their souls was born. As he came forth out of the grave, his resurrection complete, it's paid. Then heaven shouted loud and clear, telling all who'd lend an ear, Jesus conquered death for all. Man has been redeemed from the fall. So rejoice. Lift your voices high to praise God's Son, your soul to buy, that by his resurrection power gives to us great hope this hour. Yes, Easter is a most blessed time when God expects from all mankind thanks, honor, and praises to for Jesus, his Son, who arose for you. Thank God for the fact that Jesus arose from the dead. So we've noticed the prophecy of Christ's resurrection. Let's notice, secondly, the powerful performance of Christ's resurrection. He did it by his own power. Think about that. He raised himself from the dead. Jesus performed this resurrection himself. The Bible says that he appeared to Paul in Acts chapter 9 and verse 5. And we also notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20 that he confirms that Jesus is alive and well. Notice back in Acts, if you would, chapter 9 and verse 5. The scripture is very clear about this, and this is part of Paul's testimony. He said this, and he said, speaking of Jesus, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And then we go down and we find that he spoke about the fact that he was resurrected. He appeared to the Apostle Paul. And then we notice also that Peter reinforces Christ's resurrection, because we know that he believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We find that in Acts chapter 3 and verse 15. Let's turn back there and notice what it says in Scripture. Acts chapter 3 and verse 15. The Bible records for us, and they killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And so we see that Peter believed in the resurrected Savior. And then we understand in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, and also in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, that he shows Paul concerning the fact that he is alive. I should say he shows John, rather, that he is alive, and he's alive forevermore. Paul, in his definition of what the gospel is, found in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, proceeds in verse 6. If you're turning your Bibles there, you'll notice what the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 6. This is what the Bible says. It says, Paul said, after that Jesus was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And so he went to say on in verse 4 that Jesus was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And so we see here that the powerful performance of Christ's resurrection was brought about by Jesus Christ himself. He appeared to Mary Magdalene at the empty tomb. The angel talked to the ladies at the tomb. He appeared to the 11 in Jerusalem. He appeared to the two on the road to Emmaus. He appeared a week later to the 11 apostles, and then to the apostles in Galilee and to Peter. And finally, he brought a charge to his disciples and made an appearance there. And we notice that he also appeared, as I said, to the apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. Yes, and he appeared also at his ascension. And so we see that Jesus truly performed that resurrection from the dead. Thirdly and lastly, the sure promise of our resurrection. Christ's resurrection is our insurance policy that we too will rise again from the grave. Daniel saw in a future time some people being resurrected to, he said, everlasting life, meaning that God's people, as we see in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, that was hundreds of years, by the way, prior to this time of the New Testament dispensation. But it was predicted and prophesied that there would be those that would be resurrected. And that takes in consideration every born-again believer who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus himself taught, as we see in John chapter 5, verse 28 and verse 29. There are actually two verses we want to consider there, verse 28 and verse 29. He said, marvel not at this, for the hour is come in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life. That's us. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And so we see the promise of our resurrection. Just as the grave could not hold Jesus, if we die before the rapture, before the Lord comes back, we have the promise that we'll be resurrected from that grave. The sure word and promise found in John chapter 6 and verse 40, it is a hope that we look for. And I want you to notice in that verse what it had to say. In John chapter 6 and verse 40. John's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 40. Follow along as the Word of God speaks to our hearts. He says in chapter 6 and verse 40, if I can locate that verse, if you bear with me for just a moment, notice what the Bible says. He says, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." What a promise. We find that he was giving this testimony and this assurance to Thomas at this particular time. And so we need to understand that we have a promise of being resurrected one day as Jesus was resurrected. Of all of Jesus' I ams, perhaps the greatest is the I am that he made to Martha when he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And he said, "He that believeth me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." What a promise. And that ensures our resurrection, according to John chapter 11 and verse 25. God gives a lot of space and time to guarantee the Lord's resurrection and ours in the four gospel books alone. In Matthew's gospel, some 20 verses are allotted to that truth. In Mark's gospel chapter, there are 8 verses. And then in Luke's gospel, 53 verses. And there are 2 chapters, or most of 2 chapters in the book of John, given over to the doctrine of the resurrection. And so the question before us is this: do you believe in Easter? We see in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 how to secure our resurrection from the dead and to spend eternity with our Heavenly Father. He tells us that we are to believe with our heart and we are to call upon the name of the Lord, and salvation will be ours. To become a believer like Thomas, who saw the Lord, the Bible says in John chapter 20 and verse 29, we are those that have not physically seen the Lord, but we're blessed, we're happy. Excuse me. And I close with this very personal and profound and powerful testimony of a true born-again believer who shared Easter with everybody that she talked with. I have in my hand this testimony. It's verbatim of a lady by the name of Edith Burns. Edith lived in San Antonio, Texas, and she was a patient of a doctor by the name of Will Phillips. I've condensed this down for sake of time. Dr. Phillips was a gentle doctor who saw his patients as people. And his favorite patient was Edith Burns. And one morning he went to his office with a heavy heart, and it was because of Edith Burns. When he walked into that waiting room and through it, there sat Edith with her big black Bible on her lap, earnestly talking to a young mother sitting beside her. You see, Edith Burns had a habit of introducing herself in this way: "Hello, my name is Edith Burns. Do you believe in Easter?" And when she would do that, then she would explain to those that were listening to her what Easter was really all about. And we find that she would get different answers. And she would get an answer like, for instance, as she talked with Beverly, one of the nurses, and won her to Christ. Beverly had told her that Easter was about an Easter egg hunt and about new clothes and about going to church. And Edith began to tell her and teach her about the real meaning of Easter. And she oftentimes would share the gospel of Christ with people and what Easter really meant. Dr. Phillips said, "Beverly, don't call Edith into my office quite yet. I believe there's another delivery going on in the waiting room." After being called back to the doctor's office, Edith sat down. And when she took a look at the doctor, she said, "Dr. Will, why are you so sad? Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying?" And Dr. Phillips said gently, "Edith, I'm the doctor, and you're the patient." And with a heavy heart, he said, "Your lab report came back, and it says you have cancer. And Edith, you're not going to live very long." Edith said, "Why, Will Phillips, shame on you. Why are you so sad? Do you think God makes mistakes? Shame on you. Why are you taking this position? Why are you so down in the heart and down in the mouth? You've just told me that I'm going to see my precious Lord Jesus Christ and my husband and my loved ones and my friends. You have just told me that I'm going to celebrate Easter forever. And here you are having difficulty giving me my ticket to heaven. Dr. Phillips thought to himself, what a magnificent woman is Edith Burns. Edith continued coming to Dr. Phillips. And Christmas came and the office was closed through January 3rd. On the day the office opened, Edith did not show up. Later that afternoon, Edith called Dr. Phillips and said she would have to be moving her store to the hospital. And said, Will, I'm very near home. So would you make sure that they put women in here next to me in my room who need to know about Easter? Well, they did just that. And women began to come in and share that room with Edith. Many women were saved. Everybody on that floor, from staff to patients, were so excited about Edith. They even started calling her Edith Easter. And there was one particular nurse that didn't like Edith. Her name was Phyllis Cross. And she was the kind of a G.I. Jane. She had served in the military, and she was a very hard-nosed and did everything by the books. And she'd been married 3 times, and she was cold. And she didn't like this Christian, Edith Burns. But one day, she had an opportunity when she walked into Edith's room, and she asked Edith, Edith, you've asked everybody in this hospital, do you believe in Easter? You've never asked me that. Why haven't you? Edith said, because the Lord told me that I could not ask you that question until you asked me about it. And now I want to tell you about Easter. And with that, she shared the true story of Easter about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Beverly Cross left the room that day, walking on clouds as she gave her heart to Jesus. The question is, do you believe in Easter? This Easter, put Jesus Christ first in your life. If you've never trusted him, call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for this time we've shared together in this sunrise service. Bless what has been said. And I pray, God, that Christians have been established or reestablished in the faith to believe strongly in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And then I pray for the lost ones that are tuned in, perhaps, that they might come to know Christ in a full and free pardon from their sin. And then I pray, God, that you will honor the word that's been spoken, that you've been glorified in all that we've shared, because I ask in the name that's above every name, the lovely name of Jesus. Amen.